Father, we just draw close to you this morning.
Yeah.
Father, thank you that you've already drawn close to us. And we draw close to you. And Father, we just want you to sneak up on us and fill us with your love today. More and more. Thank you, Father. Yeah. You know, God's love is so big that no one of us can contain all of it. No group of us can contain all of it. But yet God wants us to live in love.
Come on.
He wants us to live our lives rooted and grounded, planted in love. And you know, his love is just so big and amazing. And Paul writes that we would comprehend the widths and the depths and the lengths and the breadth of it. You know, like, how can we get our minds around something so vast? Well, we can't. Because it's not a thing for our minds, it's a thing for our hearts.
Yeah, come on.
And he wants us to understand his love in our hearts so that we live in love.
That's it.
And I'm going to say a few things. This morning is kind of one session. It's one talk over two sessions. So we're going to have a coffee break at about 11 for a few minutes. But it's, after coffee break, it's the continuation of the same session. So, you know, so you have to stick with me all morning, I'm afraid. But there may be some things I say this morning that shock you. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. Because, you know, I hope they shock you to reveal a truth to you. Because I'm going to talk about some things this morning that we don't often talk about in church. Some of you guys might do, I don't know, but it's not what I grew up on. So, you know, bear with me, but we're talking about the love of the Father. And in Genesis chapter 1, God says that he made mankind. The word that's used in Genesis 1:26 is not man as in man as in Mark or John or Martin, as in male. It's a word for mankind. So that includes all of us. And God said that he made mankind in his image. Not just in bodily form, but in spirit and in heart. It said, and we mentioned it last night, that he breathed his life into us. He breathed his spirit into us, and we became a living being. And in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, it says, we're made in his image. In the image of God, he made us. Male and female, he made us. And because we've tried to come at this with our minds, we've got limited understanding of what that's really talking about. You know, we think that it's God made man and God made woman. And he made this great big strong thing, creature, animal, that we call man. And he made this beautiful, tender, gentle person that we call woman. And we've kind of pigeonholed what we think is going on in this passage into the sort of the bodily forms of man and woman. I think actually God's talking about something a lot deeper.
Come on.
And a lot bigger and a lot greater. See, God is perfect love. You know, when Adam opened his eyes, he looked into the face of love. He looked into eyes of perfect love. You know, when our eldest daughter was born, I held her for 45 minutes straight after she'd been born, and I just looked into her eyes and I talked to her. I poured love into her. It was the best I could give her. It was all of the love of my heart was poured into this tiny little person whose head was here and whose feet were down here. And I just poured all my imperfect human father's love into her. But when Adam opened his eyes, He got the full, perfect expression of the Father's love.
Come on.
He got everything that the Father had to give him. Mm. See, and it says in Genesis that he made us in his image, male and female. And that means everything that is perfect of masculinity is in God. And everything that is perfect of femininity is also in God. And that is a truth that we have missed out on. Because God is Father. God is referred to throughout Scripture as Father. And we kind of think that therefore God is man, male. But God is neither man nor woman. He is spirit. You know, I'm not talking gender issues this morning. There's enough gender confusion in the world. You know, we're not talking gender. We're talking spirit. And everything of the perfect masculinity and everything of the perfect femininity is held in perfect balance and perfect unity in the heart of the Father. And when he says he created mankind in his image, he poured that masculinity and that femininity into the human race. Now, the way it works out is that men tend to have more masculine traits and women tend to have more feminine ones. But there's nothing wrong in any way with a man being tender.
Come on.
There's nothing wrong with a man having a gentle, kind, nurturing heart. There's nothing wrong with a woman having the ability to lead and direct things. You know, we have got this so badly wrong. And one of the things we do when we do our A schools, when we have a week together and we build up trust and relationship together, is we actually have a whole session on putting things right between men and women. And just apologising for the wrong attitudes and the wrong beliefs and the things we've done wrong to one another over the centuries. Because we want to see the relationship that God has in his heart restored to his church. And, you know, the church I grew up in, for a time, if there was a strong woman in the congregation, they said she had a Jezebelic spirit. That's a load of rubbish.
Come on.
In most cases.
Yeah.
There are times when it may be true. And a man can have a Jezebelic spirit as well. You know, a strong woman is not a bad thing. My wife has very, very clear leadership abilities and strengths. She's very, very gifted in that way. And it's just part of the way we work together and complement each other. You know, if you're a man and you've got a tender, gentle heart, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just a reflection of God's image in you. And we've, you know, as a church, I really believe we've missed the point of Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah, that's right.
And our limited minds have pigeonholed what we think it's saying. And so there's sort of just been this limitation in our understanding of what God's love is like. We kind of think that whenever God expresses his love, he will express it in a way that a father would express it, would express love. And, you know, yet if we read the scriptures, a lot of the times that the love of God is talked about, it's what we would normally say is how a mother loves children. But kind of we've just stood back from that and we've not taught on it, we've not experienced it, we've not lived in it, we've not made it available to people. And so the church, generally speaking, has become a very masculine organisation. And I use that word organisation deliberately because it has become an organisation. Now, I love church. I believe that it is through the church that the world will see how good God is.
Come on.
But before the world can see how good God is, we've got to see how good God is.
That's right. Come on.
And we've got to experience how good God is. And that means we've got to understand that in the heart of the Father is everything that is perfect of both masculine and feminine. And in his heart is, if you can imagine the most perfect, perfect mother, the full expression of a mother's love, that's multiplied way, way, way many times in the heart of our Father. And just as he wants to love us as a father, he wants to love us with that sense of mother's love as well. Jesus writes in John chapter 15, he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you have love for one another." And I think as we grow in love for one another, as we grow in a perfect expression of love for one another, the world out there is going to see. And they're going to start asking questions. Because we'll be valuing and honouring and loving one another as God intended.
Come on.
And we'll be allowing men to be tender and gentle. We'll be allowing women to be strong and powerful. Because it's an expression of God in them. I've just read a really good book by Danny Silk from Bethel called Powerful and Free. And he talks about the glass ceiling in the church of the wrong way we have treated women. And I wept as I read it. Because there is so much that we need to receive that we've closed our hearts and the doors of our lives to. And I'm just so glad that we're living in a day that God is restoring this to us. Satan came to rob, steal, and destroy. And one of the things he's stolen from us is the expression of tender-hearted love. But it's ours to win back. God wants to restore it to his church, to his people. And he will restore that through both men and women.
That's it.
He will restore it to all of his body, to all of his family, so that we together become a greater and truer expression of who our Father is. You know, I remember the first time James Jordan came to our church. James leads Father Heart Ministries. He's based in New Zealand. He calls it God's country. I know you would call Yorkshire God's country, but we'll let him off. And the first time he came to our church, we were walking back from the church to our house for lunch, and he said, I've been in better business board meetings than that. And I'm an elder in this church. And he's basically just said, you're running a good company. You're running a good business. I'm thinking, oh God, help us. And he was right. You know, because one of the strengths of the masculine is that decisive, directional, you know, going for it type of thing. And we miss out on all the tenderness and the nurture and the comfort. And we need the whole expression of God the Father in our lives and in our churches. And so I really just want to take a few minutes to talk about some of the things that we've lost and that we can see restored. And they are the more sort of feminine characteristics. And I'm really, really only going to scrape the surface this morning. But if you want to sort of go deeper a little bit and have a look at it more, buy this from the back. It's called The Mother Heart of God by Denise Jordan. And it's a transcript of a talk she did on it. And it's absolutely brilliant. It will fill in a lot of the gaps of what I'm saying. But You know, a mother teaches children how to receive and contain love. You know, a mother puts that container within a child's heart where they can receive love. But the problem is, and we said this last night, that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's completely mixed up and it doesn't really know what love is anymore. And so our mothers and our fathers have not loved us as God intended. They've not been the perfect expression of love to us. And therefore we haven't received perfect love. And that's why we grow up wounded. That's why we grow up with hurts and pains. And that's why we grow up with misunderstandings of what God's love is like. Because we've not received that perfect expression of love. And you know what a colander is? You wash the salad in it. It's got holes in, hasn't it? And you put water in and it just drains out the holes. That's what the love container of our lives is like. And some of us have bigger and more holes than others. And you know, it's like we can't receive love because it's whenever love is poured in, it just leaks out the bottom. Mm.
Come on.
And it drains away.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
And God is in the business of healing those holes.
Amen. Come on.
He's in the business of blocking those holes up. And so that container stops leaking. And it begins to hold love. We used to think that the message of the Father's love was about healing. You know, all these holes in our lives that needed healing up. It is about healing, but it's about much, much more than that. It is about blocking up the holes. But then it's about filling us with love so that we live in love.
That's right.
And we walk as Jesus walked in relationship with our Father. It's about being filled with love so it doesn't leak away, but it overflows.
Mm. Yeah, come on.
It overflows from us to our kids. It overflows from us to our work colleagues. It overflows from us into our churches. It overflows from our churches into our communities. Mm. But before it can overflow, the holes have got to be filled up. And many of us know that the love container of our hearts has got holes in it. And you know, that's because we've not received the love that God intended us to receive. That's because our mothers particularly have not been able to put that container of love within our hearts because they themselves couldn't receive it. It wasn't their fault. You know, it was so releasing to me when I realised it wasn't my mum and dad's fault. You know, they didn't set out to do it wrong. And they were good parents. My dad died a number of years ago when I was young, but he was a good dad. My mum's been a good mum. But they made mistakes along the way. They didn't mean to, they didn't want to, they didn't set out to. It's just that, you know, we live in this broken world. And so their container of love wasn't whole. So they couldn't put in me a whole container. And I haven't been able to put in my kids a whole container. You know, that's the same for all of us here. That we haven't been able to give to others what they desperately need because we haven't received it ourselves.
That's right.
And a mother particularly creates this container of love within us. And she does it through her voice, the way a mother talks to a child. You know, a picture of a nursing mum is just a wonderful thing. Of just looking at that little child and pouring love through her voice into that child's heart, into that child's spirit. She does it through touch, just a tender touch of a mother. You know, many of us have missed out on that. Many of us haven't had that tender, loving touch of love expressed through a mum. And boys in particular, if they don't get that, they go and look for it from other women, from other girls. Because they're only trying to get what they lacked. And a mum pours loving through her eyes. Someone said that when a baby is first born, for the first few weeks, its focal distance is 12 inches, which is just the distance from the eyes to when they're nursing at the mum's breasts. And it's like the baby focuses on the mum's eyes. And as the baby is nursing, not only are they drinking milk, but they're drinking love. They're just receiving love and love and love through that look. And many of us haven't had that. In Isaiah, he writes, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." You know, I've watched Fiona with our kids, and she's been a brilliant mum. And, you know, there's no way she would ever forget about her kids. You know, it's just an impossibility. And I kind of think, how can a mother forget her baby? I've met people who've been adopted or who were put out for adoption, and they've lived their whole life not knowing their birth mother. And later on in life, they find their birth mum. And when they talk to their birth mum, the birth mum says, "I have never forgotten you. Every day I've thought about you. On your birthday, I've been in tears." You know, it's just like, you know, even though you haven't been there, even though I gave you away, I haven't forgotten you. And it's like, you know, it almost feels like impossible for a mum to forget her child. And God says, even if that happens, I will not forget you. That's the love and the compassion that God has for us. You know, even though we may have been abandoned or rejected by our mothers, God will not abandon you or forget you. God has not abandoned you. God has not forgotten you. And sometimes it feels like we're on our own. Sometimes it feels like the world is a lonely place. But God has not abandoned you. Many, many people have been abandoned. Not necessarily through adoption, not necessarily through, you know, mums dying or leaving, but just they've been abandoned because they've not been able to receive a mother's love. And that leaves a sense of deadness and emptiness inside our heart. But that's something that the enemy has done to us. You know, that's something that's been stolen away from us so that we're not living as God intended us to live. We're not living as sons and daughters in that environment of perfect love. And I'm really seeing just over the last few weeks that everything that has been stolen from us can be restored to us.
That's right.
You know, Jesus said the enemy comes to rob, steal and destroy. And he's pretty good at that, and we're pretty good at letting him do that. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness." Mm. You know, I believe that where things have been stolen from us, God the Father can come and restore life to us.
That's it.
Life, not just life, but life in its fullness. Mm. Like the life he enjoys. I mean, you know, all of the fullness of God in bodily form. You know, I can't imagine what all of the fullness of God is like. I can't even imagine what the fullness of God is like, let alone all of the fullness of God. But, you know, Paul says in Ephesians that dwells in our hearts. That's kind of like, wow. So when Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and life to the full, anything that has been stolen from us can be restored to us.
That's it.
It's not too late. I was in Manchester a year or so ago. I was teaching at a church there, and this guy in his 70s, well into his 70s, came up to me at the end, and he was just weeping. He said, I've been a Christian for 50 years. And he said, I've never heard anyone talk about the love of God like you've just done. And he said, is it too late for me to receive it? I said, no. You might as well receive it now, because you're going to be living in it for eternity. And he was just weeping and weeping and weeping. And, you know, I just held him in my arms. And then after a while, I just said, Father, I just prayed a really powerful prayer. It kind of went like this. Father, will you fill him with your love now? And it works every time.
Come on.
And, you know, he experienced the love of God that night. See, he'd missed out on something. He'd felt like he had been abandoned by God. He felt like he didn't matter. And he suddenly realized that he was the Son. And, you know, God the Father poured his love into his heart. You know, a mother's love is just that welcome, that drawing in. And, you know, I talk about a mother's love, but it can actually be expressed through a man. Because we pigeonhole it and think gender. But this mother's love of our Heavenly Father can be expressed through me as well as it can be expressed through my wife. Because it's not a gender issue. It's the heart of the Father. And so we guys can make people feel welcome. If people have been abandoned and not nurtured and not loved, we can make them feel welcome. We can make them feel loved. Part of the feminine, whether it's in men or women, is a heart and a desire to nurture. It's what causes us to grow. You know, when God created the masculine side of things of us, it was that sort of ability to have dominion and authority. But the feminine side is the side that causes things to grow. And he put the two things together in the mandate that he gave both the man and the woman in the garden. He said, go forth and rule this place and multiply and make it fruitful. And that's a perfect combination of a masculine attribute and a feminine attribute. It's a leadership and the rulership and the dominion, but it's also the ability to cause something to grow, to nurture something. My wife loves gardening. She loves planting things and watching them grow and nurturing them and watering them, and we bring them in every night so they don't suffer in the cold weather we've been having lately. And then in the morning they get taken out again so they can get stronger, and then at night they come back in, and, you know, they're like her little babies. All these little plants that she's causing to grow. But she's also, I mean, I'm not a gardener. And, you know, if the garden was left to me, it would be all lawn and no flower beds. And any flower beds, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it'd be really easy. But she's gone out there and she's ruled it. You know, she's taken, exercised government and dominion over it to bring order and everything. And, you know, because all of these things, they're not limited to men or women. You know, and that's where we've made the mistake. We said women can't rule, and men can't be nice and gentle. That's a load of rubbish. It's not in the heart of the Father. And nurturing is You know, nurturing is so important. You know, the church needs to be a safe place where we can nurture one another. The church has got to be a place where the wounded and the broken can come, where they know they will be safe, where they know they will be loved, where they know that the mess of their life would be accepted, or they will be accepted despite the mess. You know, God wants to clean us up and get rid of the mess, but he accepts us with the mess.
Yeah.
And the church needs to be this nurturing, watering ground where people are not frightened to come in.
Yeah.
That there is nothing that they've done that will prevent them coming to that place where they can be loved and nurtured. Because that's what causes something to come alive. And we can't give anything that we haven't got. If we're going to give this, we've got to have received it first.
That's it.
So before we can see the holes healed in other people's lives, the holes in our own lives have got to be healed first. You know, so often we sort of hear of all these different programs that are happening, like, you know, 5 ways to have good kids and 7 ways to have a good marriage and 10 ways to do perfect evangelism. Most of the time they're men's ideas. Men. Us boys' ideas. You know, we need a few of the ladies to say, no, that's not going to be... We need a few of the ladies to say, no, we need to love these people.
Yeah, come on.
We need to nurture these people. We need to provide a safe environment for them. You know, the church leadership is far too male. Our church leadership was male because women weren't allowed to be leaders. Mm. That's another bit of rubbish. Because we need both. Because it's not all about programs and organisation and structures. It's about putting an arm around someone and weeping when they're weeping. It's putting an arm around someone and sitting down and having a cup of tea with them and hearing what is going on in their life.
Yeah, come on.
It's being available to help them walk through some of the stuff. It's basically helping them have the holes in their life plugged up. Mm. We don't do the plugging up. The Father does the plugging up. But sometimes he uses us.
Yeah.
But we can never give what we haven't received.
That's right.
And I see this, you know, prophetically, if you like, as what the church can be like. Is a nurturing, welcoming home for people who need to be loved.
Yeah.
But I see in the church a lot of people who need to be loved. Because none of us have received perfect love. And that's what this weekend is about us receiving the love of the Father. It's about us growing in the love of the Father. It's about us saying, Father, my life is so full of holes, but I put my trust in you. And it's finding people who will just put their arm round you and walk the walk with you.
Yeah.
And take the journey with you and nurture you and feed you and love you back to life. See, these are things we look at in a family setting of a mum doing for the kids. But the church in the Bible is often referred to as feminine. And us guys are just a part of the church. So we can be nurturing, we can be welcoming, we can give comfort. I'm going to talk about comfort in more detail after the coffee break. A mother's love is always a place of welcome. Two of our kids are away from home, and our youngest daughter's just been at university. But when our kids come home, they kind of give us a running commentary. I'm at Clackett Lane service station. I'm just coming onto the M4. I'm just coming off the M4. I'm just turning into Abingdon. So we know when they're going to arrive. And, you know, it's like we're sort of watching out the window. And I'm just like Fiona in this. You know, the two of us are there and the car pulls up outside the drive and we're out the door. And as soon as our daughters have got out of the car, we just give them a big hug. And we embrace them and we say, welcome home. And they make themselves at home. You know? There's a kind of magnetic attraction to the kitchen cupboard. And it's kind of, you know, one of our daughters, she walked straight into the kitchen, she said hello to us, and she walked straight to the kitchen cupboard. Is there any flapjack? Do you know what? There's always flapjack. Because Fiona knows she's coming home. And Fiona knows she likes flapjack. So there's always flapjack in the cupboard when Hillary comes home. Because it's a mother welcoming her daughter home. There's always flapjack in God's kitchen cupboard.
That's it.
You know what? Whatever you need, you know, our Father is a welcoming Father. You know, I love welcoming my kids home. You know, if I've been travelling and I come home, I kind of welcome myself home to them. Do you know what I mean? You know, I go through the door and give them a big hug. It's like they've come home, not me. But, you know, the church should be a place of welcome. The trouble is the older brother stands at the door too often. I'm so glad that the father welcomed the younger son home in Luke 15.
Yeah, come on.
You know, if the elder brother had welcomed him, well, he wouldn't have welcomed him home, would he? It would not have been a welcome. But the father was there to welcome his son home. In fact, it says in Luke 15 that he was watching and waiting. And he saw this figure come over the horizon. And he was off. In an undignified state, he pulled his robes up, tucked them into his underpants, and ran down the drive to welcome his son home. That was so undignified for a man like that to do. You know, all of his neighbours would have looked at him and thought, man, he's lost his head. You know, he's flipped. But he hadn't. He was just there to welcome his son home. And that's, you know, that's what God's like. He's there to, he wants to welcome each one of us home. You know, there's a lot of lost kids in the church. There's a lot of younger brothers, younger sons who've gone off and done their own thing. There's a lot of elder brothers who've shut their heart to the Father. And for both of those sons in Luke 15, God the Father went out to welcome them. You know, Jesus was talking to the teachers and the Pharisees, but he was also talking to the sinners and the tax collectors. And he said, this is what my Father's like. He welcomes the sinners home. And he also wants to welcome the religious home. And we don't know the end of the story. We don't know what happened to the elder brother. It's kind of left dangling. You know, the sinners, the people who know their need of God, they're always ready to admit they need God. And they just need that place of welcome where they can be at home. But the religious think they've got it all together, think they've got it all sorted, and they don't know that they need the Father's welcome. But all of us need to be welcomed home. You know, I've been a Christian for 30 years before I was welcomed home by the Father, and that was 11 years ago when I felt like the Father put his arms around me and said, son, welcome home. And all of us here today need to know that we are home. And if we haven't come home, we can come home. Because that nurture and care and compassion in our Father's heart is there to welcome us home. See, in each one of us as a whole, none of us has received the full expression of love. None of us has received perfect love. None of us has lived in the environment of love that God made for us to live in. It's been stolen from us. But it can be given back to us. It's actually already been given back to us through Jesus. What Jesus did on the cross put it all right again. And we are now free and able to enter into it. When we talk about the Father's love, we're talking about everything that is perfect of a Father's love and a Mother's love. All tied up in our wonderful Heavenly Father. That's too big for any one of us to contain. But each one of us can have a bit of it. And that will be enough to fill us.
Yeah.
You know, just as God wants to love us with a Father's love, so He wants to love us with a Mother's love. He wants to pour tenderness, compassion, comfort, which I'm going to talk about in a bit, nurture, welcome into our hearts. You know, when Jesus says that over Jerusalem, He says, "How I long to gather you, like a mother hen gathers her chicks." You know, Jesus is talking about Him. He's expressing something of a mother's love there, and He's saying that's a big part of the Father. Is this gathering? I read a story once of some forest fires. I think it was in America that had destroyed a lot of land and destroyed a lot of buildings. And when the firemen came to this one farm that had been destroyed, they, in the yard, they saw a burned, dead chicken. And you know, it was a hen that had been running around the farmyard and had obviously just been killed by the fire. And one of the firemen moved it with his boot and knocked over this dead mother hen, and underneath it were live chickens, because the mother had gathered and protected and saved her little ones. I think it's just a beautiful picture of the sacrifice.
Yeah, come on.
That our Father made through Jesus in order that we can be gathered in. There's a hole in each one of us, in each of our lives, that can only be filled with the Father's love. A couple of years ago, I went to Finland to do one of our Father Heart Ministries A schools. I was doing a teaching. But on the plane over, I said to Father, "What do you want to do for me this week?" You know, because, you know, God always does something for me. He sneaks up on me just as much as He sneaks up on you. And I felt Father say, he said, "It's the mother heart." I thought, oh no. So I don't want that. And so I thought, okay, Father, if you want to do something, you're free to do it. And so we had the session on the mother heart, which was done brilliantly, and I didn't get anything out of it. I just sat there like really wanting to get something, but just not getting anything. And then after that, we had lunch. And we were in this church centre in this town in Finland. And the church centre had like a cafe restaurant area that was open to the public. And there was a live band that was had come into this church centre this lunchtime to play. And they were just playing. There was just a violin and a keyboard and a cello, and it was just really nice music. And just as I walked into the restaurant, the band started to play Edelweiss from The Sound of Music. And the moment that started to play, Father spoke to me. And the words of that song are, "Every morning I greet you. Every morning I'm happy to meet you." And it was just like I felt the embrace of the mother's love of God. as I walked into that restaurant. And it was just like God hit me through that. And I was just like, you know, it's just like I had a real, trying to get my food and, you know, I was just getting this download. I just gave up on the food. Someone else did it for me, you know. But it's just like I got this amazing baptism of love. But I knew it was like the mother heart of the Father. And I was sitting down telling someone about this, and she said, this is one of the other people on the team, she said, oh, she's someone from Scotland, and she said, oh, I just went in and asked them to play Edelweiss just to see if they could do it. And it's like, how good is our Father?
Yeah.
You know, my friend went up to the band and said, do you know Edelweiss? Can you play it? I really like that tune. And it's like the Father set it all up. And then I just walk into this baptism of... So I want to carry on in, what do we have, a quarter of an hour?
Yeah.
If we just have a quarter of an hour break and then come back, I want to carry on just talking about comfort in a little bit more detail, and then we're just going to see what Father does.